Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 26th episode of the Fan to Fan podcast, brought to you by Pro Wrestling Ponderings and the WrestleFolks Podcast Network. Follow both on Twitter at PW Ponderings and at WrestleFolks. Subscribe to both on iTunes and Stitcher Radio by searching for PWP Podcast and WrestleFolks. If you subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, you'll find that this show comes out earlier on PWP Podcast. It is published on Thursday evenings. Otherwise, if you go to pwponderings.com, you can download the show on Fridays, and for WrestleFolks, in both cases, on iTunes and the website, it'll be published on Monday morning. So no matter where you're listening from, thank you for giving this podcast a shot. This week's guest is a good buddy of mine, John Thorne, co-promoter, co-owner, booker, whatever else you want to call him, for AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling out of Cleveland, Ohio, a company I've had the privilege to work with, build a relationship with for the past few years. Loved watching them. Loved watching them grow. They've easily become one of my favorite professional wrestling companies in the world to watch. John and I don't necessarily talk a lot about his fandom exactly in terms of how he got into wrestling and grew up with it and decided to start a wrestling company and all that stuff. That's actually been covered territory in other podcasts, both on Pro Wrestling Ponderings and elsewhere. Mostly we talk about in this episode is some of our philosophies about wrestling, I guess you want to say, like what goes into the AIW, what we think about things like wrestling on something like a Roku, or what's it going to take to get some new independent professional wrestling fans. And I think through the conversation, you kind of find out the type of wrestling fan John Thorne is. You might have heard the name John Thorne before because there's been stories and whatnot about him out there, and we address some of that and tell some great stories about John. He's an interesting dude, a cool guy, so I was glad to happy and to sit down with him finally and talk about some of this stuff. And I think you're in for a real treat. I think this is a really unique episode of Fan to Fan. And I think it's best to maybe just let the episode speak for itself. So here it is, myself and John Thorne having a chat. All right, I'm here with John Thorne. John, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up? I'm just looking at my error screen right now in the WWE Network.
Yeah, it's not been a good couple first days for them. Lots of error messages and lots of upset people on my Twitter feed.
Who owns this network, Sal?
Ouch. Shots fired within, 10 seconds of this podcast starting?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, first question I have is, what do you think about the whole John Stossel deal?
Fucking what's the deal with that Dr. D. David Schultz deal? I love that.
I'm glad you noticed too, because you were like, I was making jokes with one of my friends and I saw you were talking about it on Twitter. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed. He asked that in every single episode.
Hey, what'd you think of that Dr. D. David Schultz deal?
He hasn't asked in a while, I don't think, though.
Yeah, he hasn't had too many old timers down there. He probably doesn't think John Cena was alive when that happened.
Maybe not. I haven't listened to the Zeb Coulter episode, but maybe he'll ask him.
I listened to it. He actually didn't ask him. I was shocked.
What a shame.
It's a good episode, though. I love that, though. I love, like, that's like my favorite podcast because Steve Austin can say something that he's not even trying to make sound funny, and it's hilarious. He'd be like, "Oh, went grocery shopping," and just the way he says it, fucking makes me laugh hysterically at work.
Between my friend and I now, whenever I have to go, like, take a shit, I say I'm going to go wind my watch. That's now in our vernacular.
I don't know whether to take a shit or wind my watch. Mm-hmm. I love that podcast. It's great. Hate the Chris Jericho podcast, though. He annoys the fuck out of me.
No, I think Austin's a better interviewer, but I think Jericho's stories, like, that bookend the episode, are much more interesting.
See, I don't know. Like, I think he's just very annoying. Like, he thinks he's so, like, funny, and I don't know.
He's not funny.
I'm just not laughing, and he just, I don't know. He's like the embarrassing uncle that won't grow up. That's my analysis of the Chris Jericho podcast.
I can 100% agree with you on that point, if nothing else.
So, guy's like 40. Come on, man. Relax.
Yeah, no need to dye your hair or dress the way you dress, buddy. We all get old. It's fine.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I do also love there was floating around like a Steve Austin podcast drinking game, and one of my favorite options on there was drink every time Austin talks about how the podcast is for the working man, and then talks about something that no working man could ever relate to. like this podcast for the working man. Let's talk about me main eventing 3 WrestleManias in a row.
Or Sherry's Berries. Let's talk about that.
Oh, man. Every podcast, it pretty much gets the same sponsors.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't really get about Steve Austin. I love the podcast, though, but he's just like, gotta pay the bills. Like, you could afford that podcast for the rest of your life with not one sponsor. Like,
I know.
Ever. It's like, oh, I got to keep this on the air for free. Come on, dude. You're like a millionaire. You're probably worth like $17 million on celebrity net worth.
Yeah. You have a house in LA and a ranch in Texas. I think you're doing just fine without onit.com.
Yeah.
Whatever else.
I love the podcast, though, so I can't really knock it. But seriously, like, do you really need to sponsor Jim Ross? Like, give me a break.
Well, the other weird thing is now Jim Ross has his own podcast, but I feel like that Jericho, Austin's podcast are all becoming like incestuous. Like, everyone's just going on each other's show all the time, and it's like, I've already heard this on someone else's podcast.
And now I heard the WWE has a podcast one channel. That's insane.
Yeah, like, it's 30 years of WrestleMania is the show. I actually like the first two episodes they did.
There's too many podcasts in the world for me to listen to. I subscribe to four podcast streams. I subscribe to The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold, Chris Jericho, and Pro Wrestling Ponderings. Those are my podcast subscriptions. And
one of those is not like the other.
I hardly have time to listen to like all the podcasts. Like, I've determined that I won't listen to anybody that isn't a wrestler. So I'm not going to listen to half of Chris Jericho or Steve Austin's podcast because I don't give a fuck about the Los Lonely Boys.
Yes, I'm the same way. If it's someone who's not a wrestler, I don't even bother listening.
And then there's so many Pro Wrestling Ponderings podcasts, I can't even handle it. I listen to some of these fan to fans, and I listen to the week in review, whatever that's called.
The weekly newscast.
Yeah. I listen to that every week with Dez and Chris GST, and then I'll listen to occasionally when you guys have some kind of special guest podcast on there with somebody I want to listen to, but that's about it, man. I don't have a lot of time to listen to podcasts. I got a no headphones rule installed at work, so it's really hard.
Oh man, that's rough.
Yeah, only when I have to go do this certain job a few times a week where I got to go in this room alone, that's when I can listen to podcasts. So I get about maybe like 4 hours total a week to do all my podcast listening.
I'm not going to ask you what your shoot job is on the air, but going to a room by yourself sounds pretty mischievous.
I really can't talk about my shoot job on the air. It involves the legal system. I live like a double life.
You had to shut down your Twitter for a bit, at least privatize it for a minute because of that. I remember.
I did. I was getting some heat at work. They discovered me. They discovered what my other life was all about. Somebody was doing a little too much investigating me.
What prompted that?
Nothing really. My supervisor just decided he was going to start looking me up for some reason, and then awkwardly announcing to everybody in the office what I was doing over the weekend. And I was like, how do you know that?
That's very weird.
Yeah. So, like,
not a good work environment, I'm going to say.
No, I was like, fuck. One time he even said he listened to a podcast I did. So who knows? Maybe he's going to listen to this. I don't know.
Say hello, John. Does that lead to like him finding videos of you doing like hardcore matches and things of that?
Oh, yeah. It's become the, hey, you want to do this? I guess. Well, what if I have you roll around in barbed wire before you do it? And I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, this guy has seen it all.
I always wonder what it's like for an independent wrestler to have to explain it to like people in real life who would not understand.
I really try to like keep it very, very like unknown. I live my life like a pie chart. I have my wrestling life, I have my work life, I have my personal life, and I try to keep everything as separate as possible. And when it starts overlapping, like it gets very awkward sometimes. Like I don't like it necessarily. Like, I don't want people to know anything they like I haven't told them, you know what I mean?
No, I'm the same way. Like, I don't necessarily advertise that I'm a wrestling fan at work. Like, if someone were for some reason to figure out and ask me, I wouldn't lie about it, but I don't just like go into work and I'm like, so what do you think of the WWE Network or anything like that, you know? Or I'm not like, oh, hey, I'm going to go drive to Cleveland this weekend and go to the J-Lit, you know? I'm just not going to advertise that shit.
There's some people that do know about it that I like have, you know, like some coworkers have like added me on Facebook, and like, I'm very like particular about that too. And then, like, they kind of know about it, and then they kind of, like, ask me about it. But I really try to, like, not talk about it that much at work because, A, I don't think anybody would get it at my job. I, like, no one's, you know, coming in on casual Friday in a C Nation t-shirt. So I really don't think that that's my demographic is my office.
No. Although it would be funny if you can get some of them to come to an AIW show one time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's
man.
When we get to the whole mixing of the lives and how terrible that could be.
Like back in the day when I didn't have like a adult job, like I would have no problem being like, hey, buy tickets to this thing that I do. But like now I think that they would be like, whoa, like what is this? Like why are you doing this? You know what I mean? Like it's just I don't know, it's weird.
Well, I imagine the person who has to tell their friends or family, like, I'm going to go drive 14 hours to wrestle for 15 minutes, not get a dime, and then drive home. And people, yeah, like, you're an insane person. Why would you ever do that?
People will never get it. And, like, you know who else never gets it is girlfriends. They never understand it. Like, they go and they see all these people, and they're like, you're running this and all like, it's so cool at first. And then they're like, so where's all the money? I'd be like, I used it to pay all the guys that were there. Well, you don't have any left over? Not really. Like I've spent it all. Or, you know, the early days of AIW were like, it was like, hey, I got to go to the bank and get my own money because we didn't make enough. You know what I mean? Like people don't comprehend that like, this like wrestling addiction or whatever it is people have to where like it doesn't really matter how much it costs. Like we're still going to continue to like find a way to do it. So it's a very unique thing, but I'd imagine, you know, there's like, you know, hobbies or interests that, you know, I don't understand that people spend all their money on, you know, like I don't understand comic books, but I'm sure there's just some average dude that spends thousands of dollars a month on comic books. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or there's those people who will, you know, I'll spend money to go on a road trip to an indie wrestling show. Or so I've even flown to a couple indie wrestling shows before. But you get those people who will fly to comic book conventions or anime conventions or even just follow bands around the country that are spending ludicrous amounts of money on hotels and stuff. So it's all kind of the same. But I just think if it's not your passion, you don't get it because you don't connect with it.
Right, and there's like I think if you find whatever that one topic is for a person, they could, you know, you can make them understand independent wrestling. But until you figure out enough about that person and how to relate it to them, they just will never ever understand why we do this.
No, I don't think it's no. It just there's just not going to.
But yeah, I mean, so yeah, I try keeping my work life separate from my job life and all that stuff. And then, you know, one day I was just like, fuck it. And I unlocked my Twitter and I was just like, okay, if they're going to do anything to me, they would have did it already.
But see, you mentioned girlfriends in your Twitter. Your Twitter used to be one of the best on the internet. And then you got nailed down.
John, yeah.
It's like, I used to always be excited for what was John Thorne getting into this weekend. What happened?
It was a dark couple of years I was living, man. It was getting dark.
What do you mean dark? It was great. I mean, look, I enjoyed it as an outsider.
It was awesome, but it was getting a little too much. I had to take a little break right now. It's girlfriend season. It's the wintertime, okay?
Season. I like it.
It's girlfriend season right now. It's winter. It's cold. I hate being cold. But, yeah, it was, my girlfriend pretty much knows the deal, though. When it gets warm, I'm gonna get crazy again. Like I've made that clear, you know. One of our first dates, I took her to the strip club to go see Alexis Texas dance, and I was just like, I'm setting the precedent right now. This is what you're getting into. And I mean, she didn't break up with me, so that's that. But I did tell her, I was just like, oh, I'm about to do this podcast right now. I'm sure they're just gonna talk about how lame my life is now that I have a girlfriend.
You nailed it. You called that one.
She's like, yep. She's like, I'm domesticating you.
Domesticated John Thorne.
I'm almost like a fully functioning adult right now. It's kind of scary. Doing my doing my own laundry right now, actually. It's pretty crazy.
Now, hold on. The you sneaking around at Impact and all that, was that domesticated John or pre-domesticated John?
That was pre-domesticated John.
Oh, see, I thought it was during the domesticated period. I was like, all's not lost. You can still cause some trouble.
I don't know. When was no, that was pre-domesticated me.
What a shame.
I've only been domesticated since like November.
Oh, I thought it was so much longer.
That was like the end though. That I think Impact was here in like October or September. So that was one of my last hurrahs.
So what exactly happened? I know you got tickets to go to the show. Impact was taping in Cleveland.
Yeah,
I think it was in September because you were handing out flyers to the Girls Night Out shows that were taking place.
Like, I don't remember what shows I was hanging out for, but members of TNA stopped us from handing out flyers and said we needed to go get permission from Dixie Carter to promote at her event. And I said,
"What?
Yeah, let me call her on the phone." And I just kept passing out flyers. I was like drunk out of my mind at TNA Impact.
And you successfully snuck backstage through all the seats, through all the empty seats.
I walked like, you know how they like shut off arenas or whatever. They had like
tarp them off.
Well, yeah. So but if you're in like the concourse and you're walking to find your section, they just kind of like curtain it off, you know. So they're like, oh, this is closed, but there's no security. So I just kept going, and I was with my one friend who has nothing to do with wrestling, and he used to work in that venue. So the security we did run into, like, he'd be like, hey, Jim, what's up? And, like, they'd just be like, hey. And they wouldn't say anything to us. Like, we were supposed to be back there. I was in, like, a bright pink tank top. I had no business, like, dressing like that in public at all. And nobody said anything to us. So, like, we just, you know, walked downstairs and, like, I was, like, pretty much at the gorilla position walking around, like, and nothing. I honestly probably could have ran out of the entranceway and nobody would have stopped me. Where I blew it, though, is I was trying to hang drop into this super secret knockouts lunch buffet section. They sell these VIP tickets where, like, people just eat, like, pizza and chips with the knockouts. And it was, like, in this weird area, so I was trying to like hang drop in off like a set of seats because it was like at a lower level, and that's where I got busted by security, and they told me I had to leave, and then they were chasing me around all the empty seats, and they never caught me.
That's awesome. You fought the law and won.
I did, and then
did you get any food from the knockouts area?
No, I got stopped like mid hang. Like, I was hang dropping in, and the security was like, you can't be here. And I was like, what do you mean? I thought this is where I'm supposed to go.
I thought I was supposed to hang from this thing and drop down into this room.
Yeah, that was a good time. And then a man tried to fight me outside. I got nachos, not three orders of nachos thrown at me.
Expensive.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want to know, A, why somebody bought three orders of nachos. B, why somebody was leaving the venue with three orders of nachos because it was outside. And C, if you spent all that money and you went through all that trouble, why would you throw them at somebody?
But was at the end of the show, like everyone was going home?
Yeah, it was outside. And apparently there was somebody that didn't like AIW, and that was it.
I hope that person spent the nacho, so they're stupid, but maybe they're just trying to get rid of him as the show is ending.
Then the guy said I induced him having a heart attack and was rolling around on the ground, and I had to spend 2 hours with the police.
That was an excellent night of Twittering.
Oh, it
was because I saw people like Jay Clemens and others taking pictures of you walking around your seats, getting away from the security.
And like there was like these local celebrities that were there, like these local like newscasters and stuff, and like they were just like they were tweeting about the whole thing, and like it was getting a little out of control.
John Thorne causing problems.
God, man, trouble follows me, man. I try to keep it real mellow, but trouble follows me. I did get, and the best part is like one of my friends works for TNA, and like I had like I got all this like free like I got a free TNA shirt, and I was pissed because it got covered in nachos.
That sucks.
I know. Not that I even am probably ever going to wear the TNA shirt. I was just happy that I got something for free.
Oh, but you love TNA so much. It's your favorite.
I don't think I've watched a full episode of TNA since Homicide couldn't get out of the cage.
I don't even remember that.
That was the first.
Oh, right. With the first, like, the Hogan.
Yeah, the Monday Night War.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, I did. I watched part of that.
I think that's the last full TNA show I watched.
Yeah, might be the same for me.
I mean, I have friends that wrestle there, but I don't have cable, so it's really hard for me to seek out watching wrestling, let alone TNA.
Cable man seems to be coming to a thing of the past. Now that you got the network, what else do you need? Well, if it's work, first of all.
I got the network, I got Netflix, I got Crackle with 10 free episodes of Seinfeld every month. I'm good.
The hell's Crackle?
Crackle? You're not hip to Crackle?
No, I mean, I love the candy bar Crackle, but I don't know what this...
It's this channel. It came free on my Roku. It's just like a website. It's 100% free and has like movies on it and some TV shows. They just put commercials every couple minutes or whatever, like their own commercials that they sell sponsorships for. And they have the like exclusive streaming rights to Seinfeld. So they upload like 10 new Seinfeld episodes or something a month.
How do they get exclusive rights to Seinfeld and they're not a pay website? That's interesting.
I don't know. And Jerry Seinfeld has some new show that's just on that channel.
Is that the comedians in cars with getting coffee?
Yes.
That's a good show.
That's on Crackle.
Okay. I'll have to watch it. I've been watching it on, I forget, I think just the website that, the comedians in cars with coffee website.
I think that's Crackle, or they have their own website.
Yeah, I don't know. You might have just changed my world, John Thorne.
I'm telling you. I don't know too much about technology, but...
You know about Seinfeld, which makes you a good man.
I know how to get Crackle on my Roku box. That's as technology advanced as I am, as I have a Roku box.
Rokus are pretty great. I don't understand why all independent wrestling companies who have like iPay-per-views and stuff don't have a channel yet.
Here is my thing. I started working on a channel, and if you're gonna have somebody develop for you, it is so much money. Like, I called around. I had this like concept a couple years ago, and I was just like, man, like I want to get some free content from all these companies. I'm going to make the Pro Wrestling Network. Somebody's going to steal this idea from me and make so much money, but I'm too lazy to do it anyway. But I called all these places, like all these app developers and stuff, and I started pricing it out, and it was so much money. And so I was just like, oh, that sucks. And then I started looking into how to just develop AIW channel, and I started doing it, and it was a lot of work. And I thought about it, and it's just like, the chances, like looking at the Roku store, like the Roku store is just a mess of everything, like the channel store. The chances of somebody stumbling on this channel and becoming a new fan and spending money on AIW are like a million to one. You know what I mean? So
right.
Essentially, I think we would just be doing all this work to facilitate like the people, this like the same people that are already going to watch AIW would watch it on a Roku channel, when if we're going to do all this work, we should just put it on YouTube. You know what I mean?
No, I do. I was talking to this on another episode. I think it might have been with Joe Gagne, how with all the information at your fingertips and all the stuff we have out there, the days of just like going to a Blockbuster or something and taking a chance on a video because the box art looks cool or it's something that looks interesting, those days are over. If you're going on somewhere like Roku or whatever, you're specifically searching out something that interests you, or a show like a House of Cards or something that you want to watch. I don't think there's anybody who's channel surfing things like a Roku or anything like that.
Right, and it would just be so much of an investment, and not only of money but time to put it all together, to where if we were going to do it, it would probably be so much better to just put it on YouTube. Now, if a video distribution company like Smart Mark Video got it, and you know they kind of incorporated their SMVOD website on Roku, and it was like where you can go and you can rent things, and you know, all these other companies were driving people to that one channel. I think that would be beneficial. But for AIW to just be the AIW network on Roku, I don't think it would be worth the money or the time, you know.
That's more what I was thinking, like someone like a WWN or SMVOD, or even like the Wrestling Ish channel, or maybe even like Ring of Honor, since they sell FMVOD. Like, I feel like they might get a lot more purchases if they were able to offer something on a Roku channel.
I agree, just because I think people would much rather watch something on their TV than their computer screen or iPad or phone or whatever.
100%. Well, AEW now is getting its own show on the Maddie GTV network. Would you ever consider doing something like that for AIW? Not necessarily creating your own channel, but perhaps presenting an AIW show like an Intense TV or something like that on a pre-existing Roku channel?
To me, like, as somebody that doesn't know anything about the statistics or any of the, you know, any of the details of their deal, it seems like Maddie GTV is getting the better end of the deal by, you know, getting AEW. It's like, I looked up Maddie GTV. It doesn't seem to have much of a presence, at least online. Not a lot of Twitter followers or Facebook likes or anything like that. So to me, it seems like AEW is going to be doing them a favor by driving their fan base to their channel and getting them channel subscriptions. And I don't necessarily know that Maddie GTV has a fan base that is going to be interested in wrestling. And I mean, they very well could. For all I know, a million people could watch Maddie GTV around the world. But as just as somebody looking on the outside in, it seems like Maddie GTV is getting the better end of that deal. And I don't know how many new fans AAW is going to gain, rather than just make their TV show available to people that are already going to watch AAW.
Yeah, like, I mean, just looking on Twitter, Maddie GTV has 66 followers and AAW has 9,663 followers. So
right. So, like, to me, like, it seems like AAW would be better off on their own. I no disrespect to AAW or anybody involved. Like, when it was announced, I didn't find it as big of a deal as maybe somebody else did. I don't know.
It's, I mean, it's cool. I think it's always nice when independent wrestling companies try to evolve or do something cool like that. You know, at least giving it a shot. You know, I guess it can't help. It can't hurt, you know?
Yeah, like if, you know, if somebody approached AIW to do that, I mean, I would entertain the idea. But for me, like, to sit down, because I know that I would have to be the one doing the work. No one else is going to do it. So for me, I would have to know, like, it's, you know, it's kind of a win-win for each party. You know, like, if somebody came to me and they said, hey, I want to work with you, and they only had 50 Twitter followers, I don't know that I would entertain the idea. But maybe that's just me being closed-minded as well.
If you're going to put in that much work into it, a return on your investment would be nice.
Right. And, you know, maybe, you know, like, AAW, I saw, is going to also be releasing it on YouTube. So, you know, maybe just kind of lit a fire under them to just, you know, produce something consistent to put on YouTube as well, you know, because I think putting it on YouTube is probably going to, you know, it has the potential to reach way more people than, you know, being on Roku.
Yeah, I mean, just by the general nature of those two things, that's just 100% true.
And that's, you know, that's just my, you know, that's my opinion. I don't, you know, I could be 100% wrong. Just for me, looking at that deal, I just, or, you know, what it is, I don't know. And, you know, it's not like they signed a deal with Hulu or anything like that. So it just seemed kind of like Maddie GTV would be who was benefiting more than anybody in the relationship. But who knows? You know, maybe their YouTube channel will, you know, really catch on.
AEW's?
Yeah, like, you know, maybe by putting it on their YouTube channel, that will really help them grow. I'm very weary of giving so much away for free. So I'm interested to see on how they're going to produce their show. I know Dave Prazak said it was going to be very hardcore TV-ish. So I'm definitely gonna, watch the first couple, and and see. I'll probably install Matty GTV on my Roku box.
Well, that's interesting that talking to an independent wrestling promoter, a lot of people have theories on content and giving it to people for free. Like PWG doesn't give away free matches, but they put together these beautiful trailers that have people losing their minds. And AIW does the same thing. And then you have companies like Chikara who did their weekly podcast show and would put a free match on there every so often. And then you have other companies like Ring of Honor, AEW, et cetera, who put on promos on their channel. And maybe they used to do a free match every week, but now they don't. What do you find works best for AIW? Do you think there's something out there? Has there been a key video or video type that you found converts people to paying customers?
Not necessarily. We've experimented with a lot. We'll give away free matches sometimes here and there. Like if it's something like that we don't think will affect the DVD or VOD or whatever purchase that's good that will showcase AIW, we'll put that up for free. If it's something old, we'll put it up for free. Like for example, we put the four-way tag match up from Gleaming the Cube and stuff like that. And I think there's pluses of it of giving away free matches as promotional content, but I think there's just some minuses to it as well because we've done a lot of experimenting, and like we were doing Intense TVs very consistently every single week, and they started off at like the first one got like 4,000 views, and then we were doing it every single week, and the last one I think we put up had like 400. And there's really no rhyme or reason to why one was getting more than the other. We were putting free matches and extended match clips in each episode, and it was there's really no working formula as to why as to why somebody else is going to watch it and somebody isn't going to watch it. So I don't really know. I think it's important to stay consistent on YouTube and at least have a presence. I found that putting up, we started doing the AIW in 59 seconds or less clips. We put up a ton of clips that were only 59 seconds or less, and I found that that was very beneficial. We, some of those got a few thousand hits. Some, and again, other ones only got a few hundred. But I think it's good to stay consistent with content to your fan base, and if somebody sees something that they really like, they'll share it. It's pretty much up to social media, I think, to how many people are gonna watch it or how many views you're gonna get or anything like that. But I kind of view it as a marketing strategy. But we're not gonna be giving away Michael Elgin versus Josh Alexander for free anytime soon on YouTube either, because I think there's some matches that people should pay for.
Oh, absolutely. But it's also cool. Like, yeah, I think having the 59 seconds or less videos is very valuable because you get those impatient people, or you're just, and that's just how the way people are now. Vine kind of really did a lot of damage when it came to videos, I think, and getting people's attention spans. So I think the shorter you keep them, the better off you are.
And it's just so YouTube is so oversaturated now. Like it's so easy to upload something, so it's really hard. The only thing you can do is use it and cater to your core fan base and hope that other people are going to stumble across you and view it somehow, and you're going to pique somebody's interest enough to check you out, maybe buy a DVD or something like that. But I don't necessarily agree with something like Beyond Wrestling's model to where they give away so much for free. It's it's very hard to get people to really want to buy a DVD of something.
It also becomes, I think, a point of oversaturation where you see so many free matches on the internet and all that, and you don't know where to start, or maybe you just get so overwhelmed that you don't bother watching any of it.
Right. And I think I think something like Beyond Wrestling, I think it does have its fan base, but for somebody new who's trying to check it out, if you really looked at it, it has like a roster of 200 people or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
Sure.
it's very hard to be like, hey, I'm gonna get into this. And it's just like, where do I even begin? So I think that's a negative of that model, because Drew, you know, Drew works with so many different people. I think it's hard to even, you know, keep up on everything that's going on.
And I will say that, I mean, there's tons of great matches on the Beyond Wrestling channel too, but something that Drew mentioned on his episode of Fan to Fan was that for a while they had to overcome a lot of other companies who would put free matches out on YouTube, and it would be dark matches or not great matches, and they would just put them out for free just for the hell of it, really. And so they had to overcome the stigma that if it's on a wrestling channel and it's free, then obviously it's not going to be any good, because if it was any good, they'd make you pay for it.
Right. And I think that's why I said, you know, I think you really have to look at what you put up for free. Like, we'll look at something and, you know, we're not going to put up something that necessarily it's going to make or break the sale of the DVD, but we're also not going to put up, you know, the random match nobody cared about. You know what I mean? You have to be very conscious of what you put up, because essentially it's how you're presenting yourself as a first impression to somebody. So you have to be very, very careful when you use YouTube, because if you put up something that is terrible, that's really not just terrible just to have content up on YouTube. That's not going to earn you a new fan. If you think it's terrible, I would imagine that somebody else is going to think it's terrible as well.
Right. Yeah. It's tough. I always just wonder, like, I'm constantly thinking, like, what does independent wrestling need to do to grow? What can companies do to get more eyes on their product and to get more people coming? What do you think?
Down with the shindies, man. I think it's really hard for companies to grow when it's so easy to start a wrestling company up in the same city and book the same guys, because wrestlers will take bookings for whoever will pay them. And, you know, it just, it takes back, you know, whatever, you know, the company, the established company in that area has done to build something up. Then somebody else will come in, and then, you know, they'll take some fans away from that. And then, you know, they'll present something that sucks, or they'll rip fans off, or they'll do something like that. And then, you know, those fans will never go back to indie wrestling. So then, you know, then you're down, you know, 10 or 15 fans again that you got to try to go find. And then it's constantly, you're never always growing and building on what you have. It's constantly stop and go, I think, everywhere in the country, to be honest.
I've never really even considered that, because I live in an area where there's negative indie wrestling. So, you know, there's just not that thought to give. But I know Ohio has a lot of different indie companies out there. And maybe if you get a WWE fan that gives the wrong company a chance, and they get burned or see a crummy show or shindy workers, as you put it, they're just going to assume every other company is like that, and that's the last chance they ever give it.
Like, I told this story on Kevin Harvey's podcast, but there was this time where there was this other company running in Cleveland, and there was a WWE pay-per-view, and you know, we went to the pay-per-view with just our, you know, our normal flyers, you know, hey, come check the show out. You know, I don't even know how effective flyering is at a WWE event, because, you know, now WWE is kind of embracing the independents, but, you know, in 2008 or whatever it was, like, they weren't, you know, telling you about the independents or, you know, letting people know that there was other wrestling. So, you know, we're passing out flyers, and there was this new group, and they were passing out flyers with a free ticket to every single person that was exiting the WWE event.
Oof.
Okay. And they had Jake the Snake Roberts on their event, and, you know, we just had, you know, indie guys. And so, of course, you know, everyone was like, oh my God, Jake the Snake, it's free. 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 So, you know, people weren't even taking our flyers because they were getting free tickets from these other people. And so anyway, this show comes, and, you know, they draw, quite a crowd, you know, a few hundred people. It's 100% free. See Jake the Snake Roberts. Well, this show happens to be that famous show from a couple of years ago that ended up on TMZ, where Jake the Snake fell off the wagon and went nuts and ended up showing his dick to a crowd full of Boy Scouts and children.
Yeesh.
And, you know, it was on TMZ and all these things. And, you know, he was using racial slurs and all this stuff. So there you have hundreds of people that will never, ever go to anything that isn't WWE again, or maybe not even go to WWE anymore, for all I know. Because for years we would pass out flyer and they'd be like, no, this is the Jake the Snake thing. No, this is the Jake the Snake thing. Because these promoters kind of fell in love with the fame or whatever that they, and the attention they were getting. They didn't realize how negative they were making wrestling, you know, they were going on the news and they were showing every, you know, it was on every local Cleveland news channel and they were interviewing the promoter and, you know, he thought it was this big joke and he thought he was getting all this great publicity and he sold his footage to TMZ. But all he was doing was just making people believe every misconception they ever had about professional wrestling, that it's a joke or, you know, it's kind of, you know, second rate entertainment or whatever, you know, you've heard people kind of, you know, put their noses up to, you know, pro wrestling, that this was just promoting that pro wrestling is a joke. So in Cleveland, it's been very, very hard to, you know, even get 100 people to show up to an event based on that situation. So I think, and I think there's, you know, in every city, there's other companies that are trying to run the same area. And I really don't think there's that many wrestling fans to go around. And I think the amount of independent wrestling fans is even way lower than that number. So I think the only way you can grow is if, and it's impossible, but if there was some kind of like set almost independent territory system to where it was just like, okay, like you guys are running Pittsburgh, this company is running Cleveland, this company runs Detroit, this company runs Philadelphia, you know what I mean? Like to where those companies would be able to really build up the area and not have to deal with, you know, the five companies that start up whenever they, you know, get their tax returns back and they want to blow their money and then they never run again.
Why don't you think independent wrestling companies work together more to do some, not necessarily a territorial system, but to maybe for the best of everybody's business, kind of stay off each other's yard, so to speak?
Because I mean, you know, there's anybody can start up. So even if you worked with the established wrestling promoters, the wrestlers are still going to take the booking. No matter what, no matter who it is, you know, there'll be a wrestler that will drive to, you know, halfway across the country if they're promised money, and they can tell by looking at the flyer that this show is probably going to get canceled. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I don't know. I think, you know, I just think that it's a problem that is probably going to be very hard to get rid of, you know, like, We joke in the Cleveland area like, oh, it's tax return season, so there's going to be some people starting up. You know, I saw a flyer for a company starting up or a Facebook post for a company starting up in Cleveland, and they're like, oh, we got Michael Elgin, ACH, and Kyle O'Reilly booked. And it's just like, okay, last time you guys ran, you booked Michael Elgin versus EC3, and you drew 15 people.
Right.
And it's stuff like that makes it really hard, because, you know, they'll book ticket sellers and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, AIW was guilty of that stuff very early on, because it's essentially that's how this area was. There wasn't a lot of outside stuff. You know, we weren't really hip to the outside world of what really promoting independent wrestling was. So I don't know, man. It's going to be very hard, I think, for independent wrestling to ever really grow and for companies to build. Like, it seems more and more like it's territorial as far as the independents you hear about. You know, if like you're thinking of St. Louis, you know St. Louis Anarchy. You think of Chicago, you know AAW. You think of Cleveland, you know AIW. You know, you think of Rhode Island, or I'm pretty sure they're in Rhode Island. You think of Beyond, you know what I mean? So it's almost territorial in that sense, but the stuff that you don't see, there's still companies everywhere. I'm sure if you had Drew on, he would tell you there's probably, you know, I think he said his last show, there was, I think, two shows within 20 minutes or something running the same area.
Right. And not to mention, you just have, even not even in the area, but if other indies are running that same weekend, there's guys you just know you're not going to be able to book for your show.
Right. I mean, like, you know, and that's not necessarily like, I don't really find that to be a huge problem, at least us, because we won't set a schedule. Like, CZW is always going to run the second Saturday, no matter what.
Right. That's just, they've always done that. That's just easy to
do. We won't do that, like, because we want to be able to pull from the best, you know, have the best possible talent pool to kind of draft from and put our best foot forward. So we'll wait till we start seeing, you know, the schedules coming out, or, you know, we'll email somebody and say, hey, what are your dates, or, you know, when are you running? And then, you know, we'll get the Ring of Honor schedule, and, you know, we'll try to get the Wrestling In / Chikara schedule, and then Drew will tell me when he's running. And, you know, we try, at least us, to schedule around all these big companies. And then once we kind of have an idea of what the dates are, then we'll, like, we have like a giant calendar actually. And like, we fill in, you know, what companies are running. And then that's how we determine what our dates are going to be. And we book our dates like 6 months at a 6 months at a time, sometimes maybe only even 3 months in advance. So, you know, I don't necessarily feel that the booking thing is a problem. Like, because we try to plan for it, but the wild card is PWG. You know, that's what happened to Gleaming the Cube. Like, there was nothing scheduled, and we picked that date, and then PWG was just announced that they were running that same day. So we were just like, oh fuck, you know, there goes Elgin. We had ACH booked; he had to pull out Gargano. So it's very difficult, but we at least try to plan for it.
That's good to know. I also want to see how big this calendar really is.
It's big, man. I mean, it's just like the stuff that you hear of, you know. And then there's some local things that aren't necessarily that, you know, have that big of internet presence, like Mega Championship Wrestling, which runs a little bit outside of Cleveland. Like, the guy that runs that, he is the AIW sound guy, and we run his sound equipment. He runs the sound for us, so you know, we have to plan around his dates. And we try to plan around like Remix Pro's dates and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of stuff on there. And then, you know, you get the WWN stuff, and, you know, Shimmer and Shine and CZW, Beyond, you know, Chikara, St. Louis Anarchy, AAW. You know, we try planning around all of it.
Yeah, I think the most difficult thing is trying to get people to give independent wrestling a shot. And I think the really only surefire way of doing that is if you're an independent wrestling fan, going out of your way to try to get some of your friends to either watch a DVD with you or go to a show with you or something. Because I know I have 3 or 4 of my own friends who I went to their place with a DVD and put it in their DVD player and had them watch it. Like, you had to be that. You just have to be that proactive about it. That's really the only surefire way you're going to get somebody, I think, to convert, is if other fans are able to rally people who they think will like it. That's going to help out a lot.
I agree. It's almost like, you know, the fans, if you really like something, they almost have to be the promoter, because not one independent company has an advertising budget. You know, our advertising budget is $100, because that's how much it costs to get 5,000 flyers, in which we, you know, pass out all throughout town. But who knows how effective flyering is these days, you know? And there's also social media and things like that. But, you know, who knows how many people actually look at something somebody retweets or shares. So it's always a gamble. It definitely, and we've noticed it lately in AIW, you know, there'll be somebody that comes, and then they'll make a ticket purchase the next month, and they'll be buying 5 or 6 tickets. So that's the only way these companies are going to grow. And that's what we've been noticing, is, you know, the fans that we have gained. And, you know, I think Kevin Steen was a big part of us towards the end of the year, really getting a lot of new fans that want to keep coming back. I think some people took a gamble to go see Kevin Steen live, and we delivered a show that they actually liked, and we've kept them on as fans. And I think from there, they're telling people like, hey, this is something you have to check out. And I think that's the only way companies are going to grow. It's definitely going to be a grassroots movement as a whole for independent wrestling.
Yeah, that's the other interesting thing, is now you're getting guys like a Kevin Steen, or people are becoming a fan of the person and not necessarily a company. And they're going to go try to search out. And like a Colt Cabana is obviously a great example of that, where he's cultivated an audience of fans who are fans of him. And that's why it's so effective for him to say, I'm going to be on these shows. And I see people all the time on Twitter and stuff saying, you know, I got to go to the show, and I went because I heard it on Colt's podcast.
It's so funny, because at Dead Presidents, when we had Colt in, I guess somebody had walked up to him and said, hey, you know, this is my first my first independent wrestling event. I love your podcast. You know, gave him that story. And Colt apparently pointed me out to that person, and he said, "Don't tell me, go tell him." And this guy came over and he told me this story about how he came just because he wanted to see Colt, and he was blown away by the show. And, you know, I was very appreciative, you know, but you never know if that person's ever going to come back. And then at TGIF, that same guy walked up to me and he's like, "See, I told you I'd be back." And
that's awesome.
You know, he had brought his girlfriend or his wife and, you know, some other people. So it's definitely wrestling is definitely like a punk rock, like almost like music scene. You know, there's people that come that develop as friends and things like that. And it's almost like AIW is kind of becoming like a social gathering for these people. And, you know, it's just something they go do. But I think all independent wrestling is kind of like that. I think it's definitely like this weird underground, you know, scene, and it's just like, it's your thing. And if it's kind of like, if you don't know about independent wrestling, you're kind of like an outsider.
Yeah. Wrestling is, especially indie wrestling, is sort of like this incestuous group of people. Like, I can tell you, when I went to National Pro Wrestling Day a few weeks ago, I was more excited to go talk to Leonard F. Jakarsson and see my friends who are going to that show than seeing any match on the card. And that's no offense to the matches itself, but going and having the social aspect of seeing your friends, I think, is a huge draw of attending the show as opposed to waiting for the DVD, buying the pay-per-view, or something along those lines.
And I think that's a benefit that's because of social media and things like that, that people have been able to discover each other. And, like, I'm sure you've met so many people just based on, you know, social media and the internet and things like that, that you guys like the same thing. So it's just like, oh, I'm going here. Are you going here? Like, I know a lot of people, we haven't announced one participant yet, but a lot of people are already talking about traveling in for Jaylit because they want to come and have a weekend. And, you know, they're going to, you know, get their friend from Chicago to come, and, you know, Cleveland, they're going to meet in the middle and stuff like that. So it's definitely like a cool thing to where it's like, you know, it's becoming a scene.
It's one of those things where I think wrestling weekends like a Jaylit or a Battle of Los Angeles or a King of Trios become destination shows because so many people are able to go, and that's an extra added benefit. It's not just I'm driving or flying or doing whatever to go to these shows to watch two great nights of professional wrestling, but I also get to hang out with my friends and get to meet some of the wrestlers as well.
And it's just like everybody is in on it together. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's not just AIW putting on the show or the wrestlers in the ring. It's just like this one big, like, group effort to, like, do something everybody enjoys and loves and just have a good time.
Right, because in a lot of cases, and I think in a lot of these people's lives, like, the people on the internet, those are the ones who we have that in common with. There's not a lot of friends I have in real life. You know, there's a couple, but there's not a ton that I can go and talk to a lot about independent wrestling or who will travel with me to a show like that. So going to the one destination where everyone can group together and all these individuals are coming together as a collective is really cool.
And the thing that's great about how AIW has evolved and kind of evolved, you know, and burst out of what the Cleveland bubble was, is stuff like this. Because back in the day in Cleveland, to wrestle on a show, you would have to sell 10 tickets.
Right.
No matter what. And that gets old really quick because you're not wrestling for wrestling fans. You're not drawing wrestling fans to your shows. You're just drawing friends and family that could really care less about what's going on. They want to see whoever they know. Maybe they'll stay to the end, but they'll probably leave after whoever they came to see. And, you know, that was like this cycle. And I think it probably wasn't only like that in Cleveland. It was probably like that everywhere. But to where AIW has evolved and, you know, kind of gotten past that and gotten to what I always wanted it to be really, really makes me happy and excited, because we don't have one person that sells tickets anymore. It's all 100%, whether we're going to cover that budget or whatever. It's 100% people that want to be there. Like, I don't have to go beg my friends, please come to my show. so I could afford it anymore. You know what I mean? Like it's a cool thing. And to have grown into that, to where we're drawing legitimate wrestling fans that want to be there. Because when AIW started, I would have to beg people to come because there was no real wrestling scene built up in the area.
And now you don't. Now you get a ton of fans who are getting on board and are talking about the DVDs and all that stuff online and how great of an experience they have when they go to these shows. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the rosters getting better, the shows getting better. And the cool thing I like the most about AIW is both you and Chandler have been very open on Twitter with saying, you guys spending your money is what makes this company better. And what we do is we reinvest the money that you spend to make AIW the best it can be. Like, I know there was a lot of people clamoring for Kevin Steen, so you brought in Kevin Steen to give it a shot. And people showed up. People bought the DVD of Hell on Earth 9, his first show. So you've brought him back continuously because people have shown that they are going to support the company. And you're rewarding them for it, for not only bringing in a guy like Steen, but a guy like Chris Hero for Dead Presidents, for upgrading some of the ring crew and things like that. Or like the turnbuckles and some of like the actual stuff.
We got a new canvas. We bought new speakers and new belts. And yes, you know, it's great because, you know, I think that's, you know, to get back to why independent wrestling suffers so much. I think another reason why it suffers is promoters that are in it strictly for money. And that probably sounds bad because it is a business. But if you're in it for money, you're going to run shows for yourself. You're not going to run them for fans. You're running them for yourself. To where, you know, with us, you know, I've gotten a real job, you know, things like that. I've never relied on wrestling to pay my rent. So it's allowed us to look at wrestling a whole, you know, from a whole different perspective because we're wrestling fans. You know, this is why I've chose to get involved in this. I'm a wrestling fan. You know, just because I'm in the wrestling business, I don't look down on wrestling fans. Like, I don't know where, you know, where that became a thing to where if you're in the business, everybody else is a mark and you're above them. I don't agree with, you know, that mindset. So we look at things as what can we do? What would we like to see as wrestling fans? And that's how we try to present our show. So when there's money there, we have a list of guys and things that we want to do when we get that money. You know, so we booked Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen drew us a really nice crowd, and we had a lot of money left over that show. So the next show we had, you know, we added Chris Hero to that show with like 3 weeks notice or something like that because we could afford it. So it, you know, and then from that we had a nice crowd and we had money left over. So, you know, we upgraded the ring and things like that. We're just going to keep doing that. That's, you know, I don't think we will ever give ourselves a payday or whatever, because that's just going to take away from the next show. And I don't know if it's a bad mindset to have, but I want to put on a better show than the last one, because I want to mark out for it and I want to have a good time and I want to be proud of what I'm presenting. So if the money's there, we're going to spend it. And, you know, we have our finger on the pulse of, you know, the industry, I would like to think, pretty well. So when we get that money, we're going to spend it on, you know, what we think people want to see. And that's, we're going to keep doing that until people stop giving us money.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a tremendous way to combat something like piracy, because I think if you show people what their money gives them, then they really start to understand what effect that can have.
Man, I hate piracy. 3 hours after TGIF was released, it was already being torrented. Like 3 hours it was out before it was being torrented by hundreds of people. Man. That drove me nuts.
I mean, does that surprise you, though? That's just...
I don't know. I didn't know if I should be mad or if I should be flattered, honestly.
It's a little of both, because there was somebody... I don't remember who it said, but they said... It might have been the... Well, I don't know. Point being is they said something along the lines of, if your stuff isn't on the torrent sites, then you know people don't really care and don't want to watch it. But that's a catch-22, you know?
And I don't think any of those people on Torrent Sense were going to spend money anyway.
Sure.
But it's just the idea of like adding up all those downloads and then like, you know, multiplying it by the money. Like, it's just like all the potential that is there. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I'm too stupid to even understand torrents. I got kicked off the torrents after like 6 days because I don't know how to upload properly or whatever. Like, so I don't even really know how it works because I'm really technologically not advanced. But yeah, I got a text message and it was just like, hey, TGIF's on the torrents. I already downloaded 50 times in an hour.
Well, I mean, that's another thing is, like I said, I think the best way to combat those type of things is showing what the effect of fans' money has on the product overall. And I think AIW has been very open about it, which I think is incredibly smart. And you can see it in the quality of the shows going forward. And I just think, you know, ever since the first TPI you guys did, every show seems to just be better and better, and AIW just seems to get better as the years go by. So I think you guys got a really good thing going up there in Cleveland.
We're always trying to move forward. Like, I never want to get complacent or, you know, like, just be like, you know, they're going to come up. I assume no fan is coming to every single show. Like, until, like, you can ask Chandler, he'll run the door. I won't even walk out in the crowd area to even see what it looks like until, like, the first match is going on. Because I am deathly afraid of nobody coming, because we had like if nobody comes, we got to go to the bank and we got to try to come up with the money. And it's we're booking these shows that if we don't have the money, like every show could put us out of business because what they cost, I do not have in my bank account because they are starting to get ridiculously expensive. I think the budget on the first AIW show was probably like $300 or something, for the whole show. So, and to where we're at now, it's like more than I would make in like one AIW show is probably more than I make in 3 months or something like that. That's how far we've evolved. It's amazing, but it's very, very scary as a promoter. But we never want to get complacent, and we don't like I don't think we will ever develop that sense of entitlement that, you know, some promoters that have kind of been around for a while, I think they feel they're entitled to your money no matter what because they've determined that they're geniuses or something like that. So they're going to present what they want, and it's not what fans want, and they don't understand why people, you know, why people aren't spending money on them. I just think that attitude of, you know, entitlement and things like that, I think that's a problem in independent wrestling, and that's something we're trying to avoid. So we're always going to try to push ourselves forward and kind of work as hard as we can to, you know, to get people to support us.
Well, the show is called Fan to Fan, and you mentioned that, of course, you are a fan of wrestling. Obviously, you wouldn't be doing the things you do in wrestling if you weren't ever a fan, but you also said that you try to book your shows almost as if you were a fan, like you want to book a show that you want to see. What is it that you like to see out of an independent wrestling show?
It's kind of become cliche, but like I want to see a three-ring circus of, you know, every kind of genre of wrestling. You know, I want to see some brawling. I want to see a lot of high spots. I want to see some technical matches. I want to see a long main event. You know, I think you got to hit every kind of genre or, you know, kind of classification of wrestling to, you know, create this spectacle, because professional wrestling essentially is just one, you know, 3 hour or 4 hour long spectacle. And so you got to understand that everybody doesn't like just one style of wrestling. You can't just have a show that is 100% technical wrestling because that's going to get boring. You got to try to hit all of the, you know, all the genres or whatever. You know, sometimes you got to throw in a death match every couple shows. You know, sometimes you got to throw in, you know, a really, really technical, you know, wrestling clinic. You got to have some comedy every now and then. I think a good show is trying to hit almost, you know, every specific classification or genre of professional wrestling and put it all under one roof.
It's as good an answer as any. Is there somebody, because I know you're a big fan of ECW and all this other stuff, is there somebody who you have wanted to get booked for AEW that for some reason that you've never been able to? Sort of like, I don't know, the one person that if I don't know, that you just really wanted to get booked for AEW that's never worked out for some reason.
Kevin Steen was a big one. Like, we had Kevin Steen booked years ago, and he had to pull out. There's just, like, ECW, like, here's the thing about, like, legends and stuff like that. Like, it may be guys that would have been cool in their prime, but to what we're presenting now, they could never deliver. So I don't know if I would necessarily want somebody I really looked up to or was a fan of to be in AIW. I'm trying to think. I don't know, man. Like, there's so many guys that we've booked so many dudes throughout the years. Like, I don't know if there's a person that we haven't booked. Like, 2013, we hit a lot of the bucket list. Kevin Steen, Ultra Mantis Black. There's guys like that. Quackenbush is definitely a guy that's on the list that I don't think we'll ever get in AIW at this point. Because I don't think he's doing much wrestling at all anymore. We tried to get him for the J-Lit this year, and he declined. But
man, that would have been awesome.
We were trying. I think you know, we had a chance when we first started. We had a small window to have booked CM Punk. I wish we would have did that, and we never got to. And some guy that I would have loved to have been in AIW at some point is also Reckless Youth. I was like a huge Reckless Youth guy when I was a teenager.
Yeah, Reckless rules.
Yeah, like I would go to like his website and see D'Lo Brown wearing his T-shirt on Monday Night Raw was like the front page of his website, like the splash page or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been watching independent wrestling since I was like 14 years old or something like that.
What's funny is Reckless Youth is one of those guys that I had heard of before I even knew what the hell independent wrestling was. And yeah, I was like, where does this guy even wrestle? And
he was like the independent wrestler. Like, right. I saw him on a show when I was like 14 years old in Medina, Ohio. There was like 12 people in the crowd. It was like an amazing show. It had Reckless Youth, Mike Quackenbush, Joey Mercury, the Bushwhackers, the Pitbulls, Tom Brandy. It had so many people. It was like the most Stevie Richards. It was like the most amazing lineup ever. And it had like 12 people in the crowd. That was like my second experience at an independent wrestling show. And I was just like, I was hooked ever since.
What a lineup that is.
Oh, I know it was promoted by Handsome Frank Stiletto. It was the only... It was the only show he ever promoted. Also, one of my trainers, eventually as I got older in life. But that show was awesome. I wish the footage was available for Adam Lash's archive of independent wrestling that he runs on YouTube.
A beautiful archive it is. So was your last match that you had as a wrestler was with Ricky Shane Page at Absolution, which, 8, 7?
Absolution 7, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right. The 2012 edition of Absolution. Did you know going in that was going to be your last match?
Yeah, I knew the whole, like, couple matches leading up to that. Like, I hadn't been actively wrestling for a while. And I only came back because I wanted to do three more against my friends and kind of close it out because I knew AIW was evolving far past anything that I would be able to put myself on a show and, you know, respectfully hold up what we were trying to make AIW represent. So I knew that if I was ever going to, you know, come back and do it, I had to do it right then and there and kind of close that chapter out of my life before I didn't have a chance to, because I didn't want to take down the quality of the shows just to book myself as a pro wrestler.
Right. Well, I think your last three matches, if I remember correctly, were Haley Hatred, who you had a pretty storied history with in AIW.
Yes.
Madman Pondo during the J-Lit weekend, and then your No Rope Barbed Wire match against Ricky Shane Page.
That is correct.
What is it specifically about those three people that made it on your retirement tour, so to speak?
I think I had my best matches ever against Haley Hatred. Those matches just clicked for whatever reason. And I knew that I would, that's another reason why I didn't want to wrestle, because no matter what, I knew that nothing I did would probably ever get the attention and the, I guess, reputation of those matches. There's people that really, really love those, that series of matches. So I kind of knew that I don't think that I would be able to do anything like that ever again. And I just wanted to have one more with her and see if, you know, see if it was, I wanted to see if the first two were flukes, I guess. So I definitely wanted to do that with her, and it was, some people say it was the best of the three. I don't know. I liked the dog collar one the best myself, but that one,
yeah, that was really good.
That one was a lot of fun. It was this weird time to where she was back in the United States for like a small window. I actually like never saw her again after Absolution that year. Like, she came to watch my last match and never saw her ever again or spoke to her. So I don't know what happened, but, it was just something that like, we were like really, really, really close friends. Like, she was one of my best friends outside of wrestling. So it was just something I really wanted to do. If I was going to have three more, I wanted to do it with her. Madman Pondo, I love Madman Pondo. He did like a lot to kind of, you know, he was really good to me when he really didn't have to, when he didn't have to be, and he didn't know who I was. So I really wanted to, you know, do something with Pondo, and Pondo and JT Lightning were very, very, very close. He booked, you know, JT booked Pondo all through the 90s and, you know, a couple times in the early 2000s. So we wanted to have Pondo involved in the first JT Lightning Invitational weekend. I wanted to kind of have myself involved in some aspect. And I knew that I could not do it justice by entering the tournament myself. So I definitely wanted to have another one with Pondo, because me and Pondo had some pretty decent matches back in the day. I really didn't like that match. Like, I got like this weird like stinger at a point in the match, and like my whole like arm went numb. So it was very, very like weird, and there was like a lot of like botches in the match. So I really wasn't happy with it. But I definitely wanted to have, you know, one more with Pondo. And then Ricky is pretty much the only active wrestler that I've known. I've known him the longest out of, I think, anyone in professional wrestling besides like Matt Wadsworth. I've known Ricky since we were probably 16 years old. We were both kind of these hanger-on guys in this other like untrained company that we kind of both broke in with. So Ricky and I have, you know, known each other for quite some time. So I thought it would be fitting to do my last match with him. And he always wanted to do a No Ropes Barbed Wire match. I didn't mind doing a No Ropes Barbed Wire match. So I thought it was a decent stipulation, and it was a cool way to do it. Cause it was unadvertised, and fans just walked into the venue that day to a barbed wire ring.
Right. And opened the show.
Right. You know, it wasn't advertised previously. We just thought that was like, that was a cool thing to do. That was really going to like set the vibe of anything could happen at an AIW event. Like, you're just walking in and you just see this ring that is just a barbed wire ropes. Like, it set the tone and created this like awesome buzz in the, you know, in the building. And I think that it also kind of caused people to like get a hold of their friends or text their friends like, hey, you got to get to this show. Like, something crazy is going to happen in the next like hour. So that was kind of our mindset to that. And then, you know, I just wanted to, I just wanted to do it. I never really wanted to be a successful professional wrestler. I just kind of wanted to wrestle to learn more about wrestling, and so I could be a better promoter. Because I've said this before, but I don't think there's a baseball coach that never played baseball before.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So that's why they always try like to have a guy who was a wrestler do color commentary if they can help it.
Right. So, you know, it was just it was, you know, that part of my life was over, you know what I mean? And it's allowed me so much, you know, so much more time to grow AIW and focus on other things rather than having to worry about also wrestling and putting myself in a match and figuring and running the show and then be like, well, I got to get ready for my match, so you guys go figure it out on your own, you know, stuff like that.
Well, AIW's still going strong. You guys got a really good shows coming up. Next one being Gauntlet for the Gold 9 on Friday, March 14th. Really good stuff. The annual Gauntlet for the Gold with the winner.
Annual 9th. That's the 9th one ever, man. I don't know if I should even promote it, but man, go back and watch that first Gauntlet for the Gold. And if you want to see the evolution of AIW, watch that, and then, you know, watch this year's. It's gonna be like a whole different world.
Right, it's like your guys' little annual Royal Rumble, and the winner's going to get a title shot, the absolute title at Absolution 9, which I believe takes place on June 29th this year?
Correct. Yeah, we totally like rip off exactly how the WWE does it, but hey, man, people love that.
It's good. It's fun.
It ain't broke. We ain't trying to fix it.
And I got to say, the booking of the Gauntlet for the Gold up to the Absolution is always really good because it always kind of strings through the shows and the J-Lit up to that point. There's always really good stories that you guys tell, so it's definitely worth starting here. If you've not seen any IAW before, they got some really good stuff. Michael Elgin versus Andrew Everett for the absolute title. Lewis Linden versus ACH for the intense title. Tim Donst versus Eddie Kingston. Marion Fontaine versus Tracy Smothers. The Gauntlet itself, just tons of really good stuff on this show.
I'm pumped, man. Like it was, we were really worried because, Johnny Gargano got booked to go do a tour of Europe, and then Kevin Steen wasn't available because of 2CW that weekend. So we were very worried, like, oh man, like what are we gonna do? And then we started like toying around with this card and, you know, contacting people and seeing who was available, and then like we wrote it all down and we were like, wow, that's a really, really good show. It just kind of came together out of nowhere. So we're very excited. Andrew Everett versus Michael Elgin doesn't really make any logical booking sense, but as a booker or a promoter, sometimes you have to stray from that plan and that set story or whatever you want to call it, and you just got to put a match together that is going to be fucking awesome. And Michael Elgin versus Andrew Everett is going to be fucking awesome, and that's the only logical explanation I can give for that.
No logic needed. That should be a really awesome match. And, I mean, look, PWG doesn't really need reasons to put on awesome matches, do they?
AIW, right. You know, and, like, we give people some stories and some legitimate booking, you know, every now and then. So we can toss something together that we know is just going to be fucking killer main event.
Absolutely. And like I said, you guys have a string of really good shows going on. March 29th, you guys are going to be taping both Girls Night Out 11 and 12. So if you're a fan of female independent professional wrestling, it's a must attend.
We have a lot of girls booked for that weekend. I think there's like almost 25 girls booked or something. Like,
it's going to be a crowded elevator in that show.
Oh, man, it's those shows. Like we take great pride in those shows, and then we always get in over our heads on them. We're always like, yeah, let's just book a couple more girls this time and really try to push it.
And now you have in April, you've started a trend a couple years ago with naming it after rap songs and albums, and you had Straight Outta Compton 2012. Last year was Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangsta. Now this year it's nothing but a G-Thang with an awesome poster of Kevin Steen. It's a mock-up of the Dr. Dre's The Chronic album, but instead of Dre, it's Kevin Steen in the middle of it, and it's just a tremendous poster. That's on April 25th in Cleveland.
I was so, so happy, like, because we give our graphic designer not too much input, and he just came back with that, and I was just like, I've never been happier to see a flyer in my entire life.
It's good. It's really good looking. It's damn near perfect. Even Kevin Steen put it over on Twitter, so you know it's good.
the show, it doesn't look like everyone else's flyers, where the show's happening in space and everyone has photoshopped abs and there's all these weird things going on in the background and the weird filters on everybody.
Right.
It's just Kevin Steen in the place of Dr. Dre.
And then, of course, you've got the J-Lit tournament coming up the weekend of Friday, May 23rd and Saturday, May 24th in Cleveland. Two nights, TPI style tournament. Always a good time. I'm going to be in attendance and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Man, it's probably our biggest lineup in terms of like the independent world coming together. It's, we've put together a great 24 person lineup. In my opinion, it's probably the best one we will ever put together. Yeah, it's going to be crazy, and it's going to be very, very expensive weekend. So please, if you can take off work that Friday, it's Memorial Day weekend, make a big, long weekend out of it. Come to Cleveland, hit AIW Chikara, then head out to Chikara on Sunday. That would be probably a great weekend for every professional wrestling fan.
That is exactly my plan. So do as I'm doing. Go to J-Lit, go to Chikara, support all the indies. I can delete this if you want, but would you be possibly willing to give out a name for the J-Lit? Or is it too early?
I will give out one name.
Oh, shit.
Kevin Steen is booked for the J-Lit.
There you go, everybody. Kevin Steen. Continuing.
Both nights. Everybody's booked for both nights. So okay. When somebody gets announced, it's like, oh, I'm going to go on Friday and not come on Saturday. Everybody's booked both nights.
All right, so there you go. Kevin Steen, first name officially announced for the J-Lit 2014 tournament. I mean, that's I can hear tickets being sold right now on shop.aiwrestling.com.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what our first real announcement is going to be. Chandler organizes that with our graphic designer. So I don't think Kevin Steen is going to be the first name we pop off. So,
well, it's first of this
if you listen to this podcast, you're probably going to be in on, you know, when we announce that first one, you're going to know two of the big announcements.
That's right. You're the cool kid. You can go brag to people on Twitter that I know an entry into J-Lit and you don't.
I hope a lot of people listen to this. I think I got a lot of stories to tell, you know.
That's right.
I hear things. Des Delgadillo, he says I do good podcast download numbers. I hope my reputation keeps up.
With you and me, man, it's going to be big numbers, let me tell you.
Let's talk wild. Let's get controversial. Let's get into it.
And you're domesticated now. There is no wild. There is no.
Oh, man, that's wild.
We're winding down the show. We're doing all the plugs.
Oh, we're winding it back up.
Is that right?
No, I don't care. I'm not going to go 4 hours like Zia.
Hey, her show was relatively short. You say you listen to Dr. Keith and hers, and you're going to complain about Zia's being long?
I didn't tell you I listened to all of Dr.
Keith. Ah, good grief.
I listened to Dr. Keith's.
That was a tremendous episode, too. It's worth all your time.
Dr. Keith and I, we've both worked with Kevin Kleinrock before.
That's right. Maybe I should ask you about the Urban Wrestling Federation while we're here.
Man, there's not a lot I'm allowed to talk about. I had to sign a 5-year non-disclosure agreement.
Get the fuck out of here. Why? 5 years?
It's something. It might be 10 years. I mean, it's those contracts were crazy, but there was a whole other contract that was a non-disclosure agreement. And I hear that the Urban Wrestling Federation is coming back. This is what my sources on Facebook have told me. For anyone that is friends with Steve O'Neill, promoter of Urban Wrestling Federation / Extreme Rising. If you're on Zandig fans, you know all about his Facebook posts. They're awesome. But he had a post the other day that he was working on the Urban Wrestling Federation because he got a big phone call. So who knows? We might be seeing Uncle Murda back in the wrestling game.
Or maybe we'll see Uncle Murda begging for bookings like Sabu is on Twitter.
Oh, man. Did you see that Instagram that I posted the other day? That was about Sabu.
I did. I did see it. The Facebook message you got?
Yeah, it was $1,000 to win, $1,500 to do a job. Sabu.
I swear I heard a story recently someone told about Sabu doing the exact same thing, but like years ago. I think I even told it to you.
We didn't even pay him that much money when we booked him at Absolution 6. So I don't know where do these figures have come from.
Desperate times, man.
Man, I couldn't believe that. I was blown away. You should have a podcast where I just read you the AIW Facebook book me messages, because they're ridiculous.
If only I had known, that's what would have been this entire episode would have been.
Oh, they're
we done
amazing.
Fucked up.
See, you want to talk about TNA and all that stuff, and you getting drunk.
Yeah, those are the best stories.
Man, I have not told my best stories.
Uh-oh.
I'm saving my story about the girl in the PT Cruiser for when I do a real big podcast.
Or maybe you do a Smart Mark video shoot interview one day.
I don't think I'm big enough people to want to buy that. A lot of people hate me. There's a lot of wrestling fans that hate me.
I remember this. Well, just in general, but I remember about a year ago or so, the pictures of you, some of the female wrestlers made the rounds, and some people were pretty unhappy with you.
Pretty mad. I guess Eddie Kingston defends me in his latest Smart Mark video.
He does.
So shout out to Eddie Kingston for the kind words of defending me. He's a scary man.
There's no truth to the rumor that because he did that and Leonard F. Chikarisen hosted that's the reason that Chikarisen is now in AIW.
No, I don't.
That's not a real rumor. I just made that up.
You did make that up. I don't even know how Chikarisen got in AIW. I think we were just like, hey, people like this guy. Let's shoot him a message.
Do they like him?
I think he's got a little fan base on him.
Yeah, I'm a big Chikarisen
fan. I'm a big fan of him. I think he thought that I didn't like him that much, because I'm not that talk. I don't have a lot of time to talk to people at shows. So me and Chikarisen, we didn't talk at all really until the last show.
You just trash talk comic book people earlier. So what do you expect?
I always trash talk comic book nerds. I don't get it. But there's people that don't get wrestling. So
exactly. Okay. So shut it.
That's okay. I just don't get it.
Someone who's all ego may have a problem with this.
Oh my god, I call him a nerd all the time. That fucking nerd. #AllEgo. Yeah. Can't even say his name anymore, or else his fucking Border Patrol perks up.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the few companies who doesn't. So.
Oh man, I was getting real mad, because it was making us look bad. You know, like, oh, I. Everyone else is advertising them. We're not. Like, the guy said don't advertise them, so we're not going to advertise them.
Mm, well,
we don't want them to get in trouble.
Exactly.
Okay. We want them to be able to enter this country for years to come. I'm a big fan of his work in my promotion.
Mm. Well,
come
you
on,
know
Kevin
what?
Ford, let's shit talk people. What do you got? What do you got for me?
I don't have anything for you. I like too many people. Or I just don't care enough. The people I don't like, I just kind of delete from my life right away.
Yeah, I never give anybody publicity that I don't like.
Aside from Jerome Cusan, I have to deal with him.
Jerry?
Yeah.
I love calling him Jerry.
Yeah.
He's an angry man, man.
When I go to Chicago, he is an angry man.
I listen to that weekly newscast. Jerry's got some venom in him. I don't want him to ever dislike me.
What'd he say?
I don't want him to dislike me.
No, I know, but what did he say that was so angry?
Every week on that weekly newscast, they do like a special report, and it's like Jerome Cusan being fucking pissed about everything.
Well, have you seen his Twitter? That's pretty much, it's a lot of belly aching over wrestling these days.
Man, you got to listen to that weekly newscast. He comes in with fucking fire. He's Ring of Honor, Chikara, you name it. Cusan is on the case, and he's pissed about it.
Man, let's take it easy, guys. It's only pro wrestling.
He's a passionate man. I'll give him that. Oh. I love him though. Remember when I first met you?
Was that at a Trios?
Being a Trios, I was all drunk and I came in there. I stole your guys' pizza that you left outside your room.
Oh yeah, no, because I met you at the show that night, like earlier than that.
Well, yeah, it was like the same day.
Yeah, that's right. Because you and Drew came to our hotel room and they, like, I guess someone left their pizza outside of the door. And you just grabbed and started eating it.
Hey, man, you got to survive when you're on the road.
I guess that's true. Yeah, and man, I completely forgot about that.
I remember. I didn't even need Chandler Biggins to remind me.
No. He knows your life story.
You got to get him on here. That guy's an encyclopedia of life.
I'd love to. Him and I think the Duke would be a good one, too.
Oh, Pete? Yeah. Breaking kayfabe.
Oh, shit. Shoot names.
Shoot names. Pete. You ever see anybody talk about Pete online on Twitter? It's about the Duke.
Now you know.
His shoot name is Duke, but we just call him Pete.
That's weird.
I know. It pisses him off.
Well, then.
Come on. I'll get you get Pete on here. You get Biggins on here. Then you should do a round table with all of us, and we'll just make fun of the Duke.
The best thing about that episode would be I'd have to do no work.
None.
You guys would just go.
What else you want to know, Kevin Ford? I'm a fan. Let's get fan to fan.
As you waited too long to get to the fan to fan part. It's like, did you get all your plugs out of your system and now you're ready to talk?
I don't really have much to plug, you know? Nothing exciting is going on my Twitter. You guys probably shouldn't even follow me right now.
Well, even plugging shows, we talked about, you know, the Absolution 9's coming up in June, so that'll be fun too. Follow what? AI Wrestling on Twitter? You can follow AI Wrestling is always active on Twitter. That's a good Twitter account to follow.
AI Wrestling? Yeah, that's when I get bored at work. I just start fucking sending stuff out.
Well, now let's hope nobody from work is listening to this.
Yeah, that'll get me in trouble.
Yeah, on your lunch hour is when you send out all these things.
Yeah, my mandated 15-minute break period. That's when I do all my tweeting from the AIW account.
Yep. Shoot jobs, ladies and gentlemen.
Shoot jobs. We're gonna get drunk at the Jaylet. I'm gonna get real drunk with you, Kevin Ford.
Sounds like a good time.
I'll let you know where the super secret wrestler hotel is.
Mikey King, if you're listening to this, you're DDing. That's all I'm saying.
Mike King, he was on Fan the Fan.
He was. He'll be coming with me in the car to jail it. We'll have a good time. He's turning 20 in like a week or two, so he'll have to be the one shuttling my drunk ass around.
We'll have to find a bar that he's allowed to get into.
Let's take some incriminating photos and get some blogs all really pissed off at you.
I gotta be extra careful. I gotta redeem myself. I gotta take pictures reading the Bible with female professional wrestlers and drinking milk this year.
That was the funniest thing about like that, because there was like a thread on Zandig fans that formed about it, like having all these hypotheses about you as a person, and I'm like, clearly none of you have ever talked to John Thorne, because he is nothing like you guys are saying.
I'm a monster, man. I am a fucking weird, creepy monster.
Yeah.
I just need to run wrestling shows to talk to girls.
That's it. That's all you do.
That's the whole reason why I do it. To talk to those hot wrestling women.
Totally makes sense since there's Girls Night Out shows post-domesticated John Thorne.
Oh, man. Never mind. I'm not even going to say that.
And
censored myself.
And on that note, why don't you throw out some final plugs, and then we'll get the fuck out of here.
Support AIW. Buy some tickets. Buy a DVD. Smart Mark Video, everything. Smart Mark Video, they're like the best people on the planet.
The best.
I need to make that very, very clear. I love Smart Mark Video because they help us grow so much. Like they want to see everybody that they produce succeed, and they want to do everything they can to expose them to more fans. Like we've grown so much since Smart Mark Video took over our production, and we continue to grow because we're on Smart Mark Video, and they're doing things to help these companies grow, like MP4s and the VOD streams and stuff like that. I can't plug and say enough good about Smart Mark Video.
Yeah, they're the best. Shop.ai Wrestling is where you can get tickets for
tickets, AIW's DVDs. We got some best ofs on there, all kinds of stuff. There used to be a John Thorne shoot interview that was also 8 hours, unlike some other promoter. But it's been discontinued because I only produced it to piss off all the local people and make money off them.
Oh, man. That's a shoot I hope to see again one day.
Yeah, maybe man,
an updated version with the best of John Thorne matches.
Oh, man. I used to sell this best of DVD of my matches, and in between it had clips from a home porn movie that I made banging a girl. Those were like the in between. It was like sex scenes in between matches. So I could probably, if anyone's got that, probably never be president of the United States.
Probably not, but you wouldn't want that anyways. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah, that was I used to sell those DVDs. Those DVDs have since been removed from shop.aiwrestling.com. So if you can track those bad boys down, they're collector's items.
We can also get AIW t-shirts from prowrestlingtees.com.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of, we don't sell a lot of t-shirts on there. We need to start selling more t-shirts. We only sell a couple a month. We need to hit those like Colt Cabana numbers on there where we're like.
Those Chris Hero numbers.
Man, then we'll be, talk about some shows. We will be putting on, we'll start running twice a month, supercards.
That's right.
I'm ready. I'm ready to run more shows. As soon as we get more money, we're going to start running more shows. We'll start doing, every show will be a J-Lit weekend. It'll be awesome.
You heard the man, guys. If you want to see more awesome AI wrestling, just throw some money that guy's way.
You want to bring AIW to you, just, you know, hit up Mike at AIWrestling.com. That's Monsoon Classic on Twitter. And we'll come toss a ring in your backyard if you pay us the right amount of money.
Also watch Monsoon Classic's YouTube channel. Good stuff on there.
There's no need for it until, I guess there is because this fucking WWE Network sucks right now.
Yeah, well, also not to mention, I can't watch Jimmy Del Rey versus Bret Hart on the WWE Network.
That's true. Or WWE can watch it Worldwide.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, he went on that Worldwide kick. I was loving it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Monsoon Classic has an awesome YouTube channel. He spends way too much time on it and gets nothing out of it. Because did you know that like WWE like marks all of his videos, so they make all the advertising revenue?
Really? Like, I did not know that.
Yeah, they don't pull them. You gotta get Monsoon Classic on here so he could tell you all the politics of running a YouTube channel with WWE footage.
God, I just gained like 3 new potential guests off of this one episode.
I know. Monsoon's great, man. He's like the best dude. We go out flyering. He's like my flyering partner, and we just talk wrestling, and he tells me all about the YouTube WWE politics game. Like he said, one day WWE just pulled 150 Sabu videos for no reason.
That's pretty weird.
But yeah, that's about it though. I don't got too much more to plug. I hope this didn't go too long. I hope it didn't bore people.
No, I think it went great. So hey man, thanks a lot for doing this, spitting your philosophies, telling some good stories. Really appreciate it, pal.
We'll do it again when I dump my girlfriend, and then I'll be wild.
Yes, John Thorne uncut. It's coming. There you have it, my chat with my friend John Thorne. John, I want to thank you again for coming on. And believe me, for some reason, domesticated John Thorne has to take a leave of absence for a little bit of time. We'll have you back on. You can really unleash, tell some of your really great stories. I think that'll be a really fun time, some for people to enjoy. And I'm so excited to be able to go up to Ohio, finally get to go up in May to check out the J-Lit tournament. It's something I've been wanting to do for the past couple years, but timing and whatever else just hasn't exactly worked out. But this year, me and a couple friends are going to hop in a car, head our ways up to Cleveland, Ohio, check out the tournament involving Kevin Steen so far and some other great names. I'm sure they're going to start doling out some of the J-Lit announcements here pretty soon. So keep your eyes peeled on that. Go to AIWrestling.com for more info. Check it out. Go to any of their shows that are coming up. There's plenty of good stuff, as you can see. Got some few things to plug before we get out of here. First of all, you can follow me on Twitter at K413. Chat about wrestling, comics, despite what John Thorne has to say about them, and whatever else tickles my fancy. It's a good time, I promise. It won't be a waste of a follow on Twitter. Again, please be following at PW Ponderings on Twitter as well. Anytime a new article, podcast, review, whatever else we have going on is published, if you're following on Twitter, you're going to be the first to know about it. Be sure you're also subscribing to iTunes to get all the podcasts. And again, if you search in iTunes or Stitcher Radio for PWP Podcast, you're going to get all of them. All the fan-to-fan podcasts, all the weekly newscasts with Chris GST and Des Delgadillo. All the Schools In with Kevin Harvey's, all the Flooping the Pig episodes, which is another podcast I do solely about the cartoon Adventure Time, comes out on there as well. And if you're a fan of Chikara, myself and Justin dusted off the Viva Chikara banner to do a podcast talking about its return and some of the thoughts we had on it. Very well received. People seem to really like it. So if you have not checked it out yet, please go ahead and do so. It's still going to be on the feed. You can also go to pwponderings.com to check it out. I also want to give an apology because some of you may have been wondering where the Fan to Fan with Reed Bentley went. It just never happened. Timing issues didn't work out exactly, but it's nothing personal. Just it was bad timing on our parts. But I have Reed scheduled to come in a couple weeks to do an episode, so we just had to reschedule. No big deal. We'll be talking about his match with Chris Hero and stuff like that, and I'm really excited to talk to him. But there should be a new episode of Fan to Fan next week.
the week after that, and hopefully for weeks and weeks to come. But I'll try to do my best to let you know if a Fan to Fan is going to be off for a week or something in the future. So I apologize to people looking forward to that and didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I promise I'm going to make it up to you in a couple weeks' time. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. Again, be sure to check out AI Wrestling and everything they have to offer. And until next time, thank you for being a fan. Is there life on Mars?